pictures that she wants to, that she's able to show. So there, that's before. There's some fun stuff. More fun stuff. Oh, and there we go. That's why I wasn't able to be on the meeting earlier. That's Helen B. That's our daughter. She's 14 weeks yesterday. Total blessing. And more to come on her momentarily. But she's way more interesting than I am, that's for sure. I don't remember a time where I wasn't a compulsive reader. I'm going to talk a little bit about what it was like, and then I do really want to talk about the topic because it's very timely and very important. But I don't remember a time where I wasn't a compulsive overeater. I would get home from school, and my first question would always be, "What's for dinner? What are we going to be having?" And my mom's an amazing cook, and most of the time it was something great. But believe it or not, sometimes she would be making something that I didn't want, something that Josh wasn't in the mood for, and that would ruin my night. That would be enough to just set me off. It wasn't that I didn't have enough food, because there was always more than enough food at my house. But if I wasn't having the food that I wanted when I wanted it, that was enough to set me off. And when I was about 8 years old, I was going on a car trip with my friend and my friend's dad, and we were going about an hour and a half car trip. And I still remember getting ready for the car trip, going to my parents' pantry, packing up two grocery bags worth of food. I know still exactly what was in those grocery bags. I had all sorts of fun stuff. And we got into my friend's dad's car. I'm sitting in the back seat, and he turns to the back seat. He says, "Josh, there's no eating in my car." And I had no idea how I was going to get through that hour and a half car ride without my food. And I was pissed. I was resentful, you know, the whole thing. That's what it was like. I got to high school and college. It got really out of hand with the food because I was able to more get what I wanted when I wanted once I got my driver's license. And in college, it was really bad where I would eat at the dormitory. They would have the cafeteria food, and it was all you could eat. So I would be eating, you know, huge portions. They'd open it up early, you know, 5:30, I'd have dinner. And then I would hit the drive-through at like, you know, 11, midnight, something like that, eat double portions. And oftentimes I would be hitting the drive-through again. And even sometimes after that, you know, or hitting like the 24-hour donut shop, you know, that kind of thing. And if it was deep fried, if it was greasy, you know, I'm not going to get into too many specifics, but it was cheap and it was to the point and it was quick and it numbed me out. And I thought about it, and before anything else, it was in my mouth. And that's kind of what it was like. And what happened? My dad is actually in OA, and he's been in for many years. June 29th, God willing, will be 18 years of abstinence. It's about 17 years right now. I came in 2002 while in college. My dad has over 20 years of abstinence, and I think 22, maybe 21 or 22 years. He just had his birthday, but he had kind of struggled with his weight throughout his life and my life, right? So I saw him going on different diets and doing different things. And then he came to OA and something was different. He kind of had a sense of serenity around his food and his life that he didn't have before. That's what I now understand to have happened. And I was going into my junior college, and I started doing exercise for the first time in years. Exercise is a big part of, you know, a big struggle for me, and has been a newer part of my recovery in the last few years, something that I've only been able to incorporate more recently. And I started doing that, and I started doing exercise. And I thought, oh, do I want to take a look at this food thing? Because I wasn't really yo-yo, where I was, you know, young before I came in, I was only interested in eating what I wanted when I wanted it. I was like the funny, fat, jovial guy. I thought that everyone liked me because I was overweight, and it was really just a way for me to justify the way that I wanted to eat. And you know, I would like, you know, I would eat so much to the point where, you know, after all these, you know, drive-throughs and stuff, I'd be sitting there on the toilet, literally with, you know, diarrhea, saying to myself, you know, you can't eat like this anymore, Josh. Like, you can't do this. And then, you know, an hour later, an hour and a half later, 2 hours later, I'd be eating again. And that's what it was like. And when I was finally willing to take a look at this, I asked my dad about OA, and instead of talking to me about it or giving me literature, he brought me to my first meeting. And we went to the Serenity Sunday meeting, which meets in Beverly Hills at Roxbury Park on Sundays. And to all of you, I'd love to invite you tomorrow to this meeting. We're on Zoom. If you go to the OALAIG.org website, maybe someone can chat it over. We have a lot of virtual meetings that are really strong. This is one of them. We get close, you know, at least 100 people every Sunday from 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. In Los Angeles. And one of the things that's so beautiful about right now is that people can come from all over the world and all over the country, which is such a blessing. I mean, such an amazing thing to be able to have. And he brought me to that meeting, and the speaker got up there, and he had lost over 100 pounds. And he had this huge belt buckle. He showed what it looked like on him now compared to where, you know, where he was. And it was like just astonishing. And then he started talking about food and the crazy thoughts that I've been talking about, like exactly the same as I have. I was like, oh, wow, that's me. Then he started talking about a higher power, and I was like, whoa, well, why is he talking about a higher power? I didn't understand what was go what that was about. And then after the meeting, guy came up to me, and he was in his he was younger than I am now, but he was older than I was. It was probably late 20s. I was 19, and he was at a total normal weight. And he said, Josh, I used to be over 400 pounds. Here's my number. So I was intrigued. And so I called him. And he said to me, he said, Josh, before you make up your mind on this program, go to at least six meetings. Because if you go to at least six meetings, you might even hear your story. And I have heard my story on countless, countless times. I've heard my story from people who on the outside, I might have little to nothing in common with. But as soon as we start talking about food and this disease, we're the same. We are, you know, exactly the same. We have the same crazy thoughts, same crazy behaviors, and we might not think that we would have so much in common, but I can, you know, relate to a lot of you guys more than I can relate to, you know, some of my family, because you guys get it. You guys know what it's like. You know what it's like to not know how to get through just one day without compulsively overeating. And then that's what this is. It's one day at a time. I can't, if I think about the fact that I've been abstaining from X, Y, and Z for X number of years, that'll make me want to go out. If I think about the fact that I might be abstaining tomorrow from X, Y, and Z, or next week, or next year, or whatever, that'll make me want to go out. But if I focus on today, I have a chance. I can get through today. But in the beginning, it was hard to imagine even how I would get through today. And that's why it's so important for me to work with newcomers and talk to newcomers who don't know, like, what, how am I going to get this? Like, how am I going to just like not binge today? Because it's like, I get it. I can't even imagine with what's going on in the world what this would have like if I wasn't in program. Like, I'm so grateful that I have a program today. I'm always grateful, but I'm so especially grateful that I have a program today, because I know, I don't know what this would look like, but I know it would be really dark. It would be a really dark time for me if I was into the food and binging, and it would be so easy to be into the food and binging. I mean, I'm up this morning at I'm up this morning at 7 with Hella, with the baby, giving her her bottle. I was able to go on a meeting with the baby, which was just so beautiful. I actually heard Emmy share, who's on the meeting from Vermont. So hi to you, and thank you for your service this morning. You know, it's like that. That's an amazing thing. Had this been before program, I would have found a way to be binging while I was feeding my daughter. And I don't even know how I can do more than one thing while I'm feeding my daughter in the first place, beyond like have a computer screen, you know, kind of going where I can watch it or listen to, you know, music or something like that. But I would figure it out, because I'm a compulsive overeater, and I wouldn't have been able to go the, you know, half hour, 40 minutes with her without taking the edge off, because that's what it's like for me. I'm a real, real compulsive overeater. And, you know, what do I want to say? I'm just so grateful that we have these meetings. I've been doing phone meetings for quite some time, where I've been going to the, I strongly prefer going to face-to-face meetings. As soon as our child came 14 weeks ago, I think, you know, 8 days later, she was born on a Friday. That Sunday, my dad said, "Oh, are you coming to the meeting?" Which was 2 days later. So I said to my wife, "Oh, am I, you know, going to the meeting tomorrow?" And she's like, "No, you're not going tomorrow." But that following Sunday, I was at the meeting. Okay. And this was right before, you know, obviously meetings had stopped. So I went for a few weeks or a couple weeks, because that's what I need. I need to get to meetings. I need to connect with my fellows. I need to see, you know, my people. I need to get to my home meeting. And I'm, you know, I'm so grateful that it was such a seamless transition to be able to continue to have these meetings with the technology that we have now. And with phone meetings that I had even done before, one of the things that's great about those is they do a prayer at the end of the meeting. And I thought that was amazing, because it was like everyone would be on the phone and then they would pray. And I call my sponsor every day, because that's what I need to do. I need that accountability. I need to call him. And when I call him, we always end our conversations with a prayer. Or if I leave a voicemail, I will leave a prayer on his voicemail. When I talk to my sponsees, we do the same thing. We do a prayer together on the phone, or they'll leave me a voicemail and they'll leave a prayer. Then when I'm listening to voicemails later, I can actually say the prayer along with them. I share this because I found this to be really helpful with my recovery, because it constantly gets me back to my higher power throughout the day, which I need, because I have a threefold disease, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And it was easy for me to see the physical, because I was, you know, obviously had excess weight, and I physically could, when I started eating uncertain behaviors and certain foods, I could not stop. So the physical part was easy for me to see. But I also have an emotional disease. There was emotional stuff that I was eating over. I wasn't able to really connect with people on an emotional level. I had a lot of friends, but I couldn't really be real with them. And then I also have a spiritual disease. I have a God-sized hole, and I was trying to fill it with food. And there isn't enough food out there. It's not there. There isn't enough. And trust me, there's a lot of food out there. I tried. But the only thing that works for me with that God-sized hole is my higher power. And the miracle of this program is, you know, been married. We celebrated 10 years in October and have been together a long time. But she met me in recovery, in absence. I can't imagine had she met me before. But I'm able to connect with my wife on a physical, emotional, and spiritual level. And that's a miracle of this program, because I couldn't connect with people on any three. And we, you know, we will, you know, pray together and do stuff that's beautiful, that would, you know, is kind of a result of thinking about my higher power in these 12 steps. So what else do I want to say? My higher power always knows kind of what's best for me. I try to take my will back all the time, and be in control and think, oh, it should be this and it should be that. But my higher power always takes care of me. You know, exercise was a big thing for me. It took a long time for me to get into. And I, you know, joined a gym for the first time 3 or 4 years ago. It was like working with a trainer, really enjoyed it for the first time and was willing to do that. And my wife comes to me in December and says, oh, I'm going to buy this expensive bike, you know, exercise bike. And I said, look, I'm never going to use it. I go to the gym. Like, if you want to use it, that's fine. But like, I don't see the point. And now look at what's going on. Of course, I'm on this bike all the time because there's no way that I can go to a gym or do anything like that. So it's like, I don't know what I need. I don't know, you know, what's best for me. But like, those were the things with a newborn, the things that I was doing to get out of the house were I was going to meetings and I was going out to do exercise. Otherwise I was home with my child. Then after a couple of weeks, I did start going to my office, which my wife wasn't so happy about because I was getting less time with the child. Well, it's like we're in isolation, but I am able to do the things for self-care for me today. I'm able to show up and be of service to my child and to my wife because I'm able to call my sponsor still. I'm able to talk to my sponsees still. I'm able to still go to meetings on the Zoom. I'm able to still do my exercise. I'm still able to connect with my higher power. My higher power is in this with me. I'm not in isolation because I have my higher power. But it's really, 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 really easy for me to forget. Really easy for me to forget. So I call my sponsor every day and we do the prayers at the end. And I'll ask him for advice. And he'll always say, well, you know, Josh, can I share with you my experience? I'm like, of course you can share with me experience. I've been calling you every day for like 10 years or whatever it's been. I want your experience. I want him to just tell me, you know. And this is a guy who has what I want. He has over 30 years of abstinence. He has a relationship with his family that I want. He's one of the most kind, gentle, and patient people that I know. He has a relationship with his higher power that I want. He works a program that I want. He does lots of service, and he makes more outreach calls than anybody I know. And I call him every day, and it's always, well, Josh, can I share with you my experience? And I'm like, of course. And it's always, well, Josh, my experience is if I write about it and if I pray about it, my higher power will give me the answer. So it's always like, well, have you written about it? It's like, no. And it's like, well, have you prayed about it? It's like, well, did you hear what they did and what they said? You know? But that's been my experience too. It's that simple. If I bring in, if I do the work and I bring in my higher power and bring in the steps, there's always a solution. And, my dad likes to say, who we got from someone else, is, you know, God has three answers. One is, yes, but not now. And no, I have something better for you. And I have found that absolutely to be true. And I'm not always so happy about the yes, but not now, or the no, I have something better for you while it's going on. But it has absolutely been my experience. I don't know where I'm at with time. I know it was about a 20-minute share. We started around 2:20. Sounds like I'm good. Should I keep going for a little bit? Okay. So I want to make sure I talk about everything I wanted to in terms of isolation. I think it's pretty close. I want to talk about, you know, God shots, because those have been amazing in my life. And there are things that I would not have seen but for this program. Before program, I would have thought of it as kind of coincidence. And then in program, it's like, oh, that's my higher power doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And as I talked about earlier, my home meeting is the Serenity Sunday meeting in Beverly Hills. And it was about 6 years ago, my mother-in-law was being honored on a Sunday and it meant that I couldn't go to my meeting. And of course me, I'm upset because I can't go to my meeting, right? I love and need my meeting. And it was daylight savings also, which is like, you know, so the day was off with the hours and blah, blah, blah. And I wake up that morning and I look at the meeting schedule and I see there's a meeting and it started at 9 and I could get there at 9:15. And I was like, you know what? I really need a meeting. So I went to this meeting And I walk into this meeting, and it's like an old AA room with the 12 steps and 12 traditions on the wall, and it's completely dark and empty. So I use the restroom, I walk out, I come back into the room, a woman walks in, and she says, "Are you here for the OA meeting?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, I really need a meeting." And so I said, "So do I." So we sat there and we spoke, and we read the 12 steps, and then she shared. And at the time, I was going through all this stuff at work, and like all these issues at work. And what did she start talking about? Was all this stuff at work. And it was very similar to what I was going through. And then what does she start doing? She starts talking about the solution and the answer to it. And so then I start talking, and I was like, "Oh my God." And then she starts talking, then I talk, and then we do a prayer. And then a guy walks in, and he says, "Hey, what are you guys doing here? You're not supposed to be here." And we said, "Oh no, we're here for the OA meeting." He said, "No, this meeting, this OA meeting got canceled like a month ago. You're not allowed to be here. You need to leave." Okay. So we left. But if it was not, had it not been this thing that my mother-in-law was being honored for, and I wouldn't have been looking for a meeting, had it not been daylight savings, and I was running late to a meeting, which I hate being late to a meeting, and obviously because of childcare, I couldn't come on for the whole thing today. But had it not been for, you know, those things, I never would have been at this meeting. I never would have heard the message that I needed to hear. So I have no explanation for that. I have no explanation for that except for my higher power. I left my phone number next to my name. I know that my phone number is also in the chat. I'll say it in case this is being recorded. It's Josh. It's 310-292-2881. Call anytime. I need your calls just as much as you might need to make a call. But keep coming back, because this program really, really does work. So thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you so much for sharing. You can now ask Josh questions. Remember to raise your hand in the participants box.